Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk to our man Jeff Schultz from The Athletic and get his thoughts on a variety of things, including a nice little piece he did on Brian Snicker. Spring training's right around the corner. But, Mike, as we welcome Jeff into the program here on Dukes and Bell, let's start with the Falcons because I think last week we saw some guys get let go, some surprised at the Matt Bryant, release, some not, the Robert Alford, and then we hear, you know, Brooks Reed. Both of those guys have been picked up, obviously, by Arizona.
Right.
But, Jeff, I think the question for Mike and I is, how do we get the money needed to take care of the things we need to take care of with our football team? Because, yes, we added a little dough, but it's still not going to be enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think the number last year, guys, was that I wrote last week was like $15 million, roughly, that they're saving off the cap from the three guys that they cut. They could probably still restructure a couple of players and maybe still release another one or two that would get them a little more money. I think the big question is, you know, what number does Grady Jarrett come in at?
Right.
They would much rather not have to franchise him because that would leave a much bigger number. And then my guess is they probably have a feel for what Julio's going to come in at, but I don't think you could really look into the free agent market with them until you see what those two guys come in at. And it's probably going to be what I think the franchise deadline is, like the first week of March. They'll have to figure out what to do between now and then. So.
Yeah, it's a monster number for a Grady. We looked at some new estimates where it's north of $80 million. Some people have it, or a conservative would be 72 to 75. Jeff, here's the thing. I can't get a straight answer out of anybody. Were they close to getting a deal with Grady this season?
He's going to be signed. He's not going anywhere. I mean, you could franchise the guy for up to 2 years. The Falcons have that leverage, and they're going to use it. And if I could guarantee one thing about their offseason, it's that Grady Jarrett's not going anywhere. And so every time I see a story about, you know, from another writer in another city saying, well, you know, Team X should sign Grady Jarrett if he doesn't resign with the Falcons. Well, he's not going anywhere. I think the Falcons understand not just how important he is on the field, but off the field. He's a really high character guy, one of the few, I think, stand-up guys in the locker room, and they know that, they understand that. But it's a really unique situation. I don't know what words Thomas Dimitroff would use, but when you see a guy who's like a fourth or fifth round draft pick who is making that kind of money to take a monster leap to one of the best defensive tackles in the league, all of a sudden, you know, his first post-draft contract is going to be a quantum leap from what he was making before. And, you know, in any negotiation, it's all about trying comparables, and it's a really hard thing. It's a really hard comparable to find in this case. Who do you compare him to? Do you compare him to the best defensive tackles in football, or do you compare him to the best second contract in football for defensive tackle? I don't know. And I think it's going to be a really difficult, negotiation. I think it is a difficult negotiation, and so it wouldn't shock me if they franchise him and then maybe post that try to sort of come up with a deal.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I've said this all along. You keep your own. You draft a guy like this, you develop him. Grady, 6 sacks, 52 tackles, career numbers this season. And to answer your question, Jeff, I think you compare him to the most disruptive tackles, defensive tackles in the league. You know, if I'm Todd France and company, that's what I'm doing. If that's, you know, I've got to put it out there that this guy is as important to your football team, and I don't think he's Aaron Donald, but he's as important to the Falcons as Aaron Donald is to the Rams, if that makes sense. It's Jeff Schultz joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Let me ask you about the addition of Bob Sutton. What do you make of this hire with Dan Quinn?
I don't honestly make that much of it. I mean, You know, they had a guy. He wanted a guy who I think Dan understood that one of his weaknesses was game management with timeouts and that sort of thing. And so one of the things he you know, to his credit, he said he was going to do this offseason was hire a guy to keep track of that stuff. And they hired a guy. They actually promoted a guy within the staff. His name escapes me right now. And then the guy left 3 days later for another job.
Kyle Flood. Yeah.
There you go, Kyle Flood. So I don't think who they hire as their, you know, clock management guy is going to determine how good or bad this team is next year. I think it's going to be determined more by what Dan Quinn could make of the defense, which obviously has slipped, and what Dirk Cutter and that room full of ex-offensive coordinators can make of the offense. I think that's really what's going to determine this team's success next year.
It is Jeff Schultz. He sounds a little congested. It is cold and flu season. From The Athletic with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Yeah, just to wrap it up, Jeff, we said it earlier, we got more brain power than almost anybody in the NFC South. So let's see how that works out.
I thought you were talking about this phone call. I'm sorry. I didn't know it. Okay.
No. Just hang in there. Everybody's got it. Carl's got it too. But hang in there, brother.
Been kicking my butt.
Hey, man, did you watch any of the AAF, the Federation of Associated? What is it?
No. The Alliance, Mike. Get it right. The Alliance of American Football
League. How much of that did you watch this week, Schultzy?
Zero.
So there you go. I mean, they had some snazzy uniforms, and Atlanta's team doesn't look so good.
I'll expand on my thought. I'm really not rooting against it. I've thought for a long time the NFL needed a development league beyond getting one for free in college football, and I think it's great, and I hope it makes it. I'm just not really interested in watching right now. And then from the local, and I'll say this, I did see a couple highlights of some hits, and that was pretty impressive. So I'm glad, you know, I hope some players get some jobs out of this. It'd be great. But the local franchise, obviously, you know, when you have your head coach quit before the season and the offensive coordinator, such as he was, Michael Vick, decided he didn't want to be part of it anymore before they ever played the first game, obviously they're a mess locally. So, but I hope the league makes it, and it's football. So for cities that don't either have a hockey team or a basketball team or aren't clued into hockey or basketball and are just looking for a bridge to get to the baseball season, it's something to watch. I just haven't really tuned in yet, honestly.
Well, we know you're going to be watching the Braves. You did a nice piece on Brian Snicker, sharing his thoughts on success and his humble beginnings. Did you learn anything in talking with him?
Yeah, I never realized. I knew so this is what happened. A few weeks ago, I pitched to him that I wanted to ride to spring training with him in the car. We went back and forth a couple of times, and he hemmed and hawed, and he finally said, you know, that's just the time where I kind of like to be to myself, and I listen to this music, and da-da-da. And he goes, but how about if you call me on the phone? I said, no, it's not really going to work as well. So then I put the story aside, and after I thought about it, it's like, you know what, it's better than nothing. So I called him. He said, call. I texted him. I said, okay, let me call you. He said, fine, I'm leaving on such and such day. So I called him. And the one thing I learned was, I said, so you told me you always listen to the same music. What do you listen to? And he said, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Really?
I said, the entire opera, rock opera? He goes, yeah, the whole thing.
No kidding.
And wow. I said, really? Okay. I said, well, when you put it in, he goes, I only put it in once I cross into Florida. And I said, what's your favorite song? He said, King Herod. So, you know, again, as I wrote, if you could just imagine, you know, there's a 63-year-old man heading south on I-75 into Florida singing, oh, King of the Jews, walk across my swimming pool. That's the Brian Snicker.
See, honestly, Jeff, I would have thought maybe, what's that buzz, you know, strange thing, mystifying. I mean, that kind of struck me. It's a great, great piece of insight. There's a level of depth to Snicker we were not appreciating initially.
Exactly. And you know what? You're only going to read that in The Athletic. So there you go.
No, remember you're right.
What's that buzz? Tell me what's happening. Hey, Schultzy, what about Craig Kimbrell as baseball colludes now to be fiscally responsible after 30 years of spending like drunken sailors?
Yeah. It's either collusion, guys, or all of them all of a sudden are, you know, slapping themselves in the forehead saying, hey, it's time to be fiscally responsible. Like, no, you know, obviously it's cool. I mean, you have, what is it, like 9 Scott Boras clients I saw are out there.
Right. Yep.
Depending on how you break it down, probably like 7 or 8 of the top 20 free agents are out there. I mean, the numbers are ridiculous, including obviously Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, Craig Kimbrell, Dallas Keuchel. You can go down the list. It's crazy. And I would have thought, And even Snitker said this 3 or 4 weeks ago at Chop Fest. You know, he thought that that was going to happen. It was going to happen soon after then. And then Alex Anthopoulos said the same day he thought the signings would come right after Super Bowl. And here we are, teams, you know, players and coaches starting to drive down to spring training. These guys are still out there, and I don't know. I don't know how much of it is, you know, these guys have unrealistic expectations. I the market has definitely gone down the last couple of years, but to see this many game-changing players out there is still, it's sort of mind-boggling a little bit.
It is, and I sort of blame the players' union, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But, Jeff, the deal is now, just think about Acuña, for example. You know, it used to be where these teams clamored to get guys who were 27, 28, 29 years old, allegedly heading into their prime. And all these analytic guys now are basically saying, you know what, you get the best years when these guys are non-arbitration eligible. You get an Acuña for the next 5 years, right, who's going to be great for the Braves, and he's going to be underpaid. And then all of a sudden, when he becomes a free agent or it's time for him to get paid, teams don't want to spend that money. And I think more analytics now in baseball has these teams thinking differently. And I blame the union because they wanted other stuff they didn't ask for. And now they're going, oh, well, wait a minute. We should have been thinking about this. Honestly, I don't know if it's collusion or not, but I think that's a big part of what's going on right now with these guys not being signed. Hey, I want to ask you real quick about the Hawks. We got about a minute left.
Okay.
No moves. A lot of us were thinking, all right, listen, we're going to tank right. They really didn't do anything at the trade deadline. Now, they buy Jeremy Lin out. He's now going to sign with Toronto. But for the most part, is this the plan? Travis Schlenk, is he on course with his plan?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he is. I mean, I suppose they could have tried to sell off another piece or two, and I think they did. But the plan is to try to develop, you know, identify the core pieces, develop those guys. I think they're doing that with three or four guys on this team, and try not to win too many games, which unfortunately they did on the recent road trip, and now they've lost the last few. So I really like their future right now. And, you know, now it's about where do you finish, where does Dallas finish, where do the ping pong balls fall in the lottery, and you know, do you have a chance at that guy at Duke? Yeah, but at the very least, you're going to get at least two very good players this draft. It wouldn't shock me if they made a trade because I don't see them drafting five guys and signing five rookies.
Right.
It wouldn't shock me if they made a trade sometime between now and the draft or even after the draft. But I like their future, and I really like Lloyd Pierce, the head coach. And I like their owner, Tony Ressler, because he seems committed to having a winning team, and he's done a lot of good things around the franchise to develop that. So,
right.
I'm high on the Hawks, actually.
Yeah, you had a good interview with Ressler in The Athletic a few months back where you talked about, actually almost a year ago, where you talked about, you know, the learning curve for the owner and things he's getting appreciations right for. Look, I think most Hawks fans right now would say, take all our picks and some from next year to go get Zion, because if you want, as we said earlier, that Dominique-type vibe that puts fannies in seats, that's the guy that's going to do it for you.
No, I agree. I think the NBA more than any other sport, it's star-driven, and I think you want that star that will really bring people to the arena. But obviously, more than anything else, you want to win too. But obviously, he could help you do that. So getting him obviously would be huge for the city and the franchise.
Jeff, get over your stuff, man. I've been struggling for the last week.
I'm trying, man. I think I'm trending upward.
Me too.
I'm okay. So.
Well, good deal, man. We'll talk soon. Thank you again for jumping on with us, guys. Jeff Schultz, read him in The Athletic.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.